There is greater evidence of God's power in the regeneration of a broken man's life than there is in all of creation. When God made the world, he made it out of nothing. But when he remakes a man, he has to start with the brokenness and the sinfulness and the ugliness of a man's life. Paul Washer. Welcome to King Me Ministries Podcast. I am your host, Dennis Knight, and it is again a privilege to bring God's Word to you this week. May you be blessed as we look at God's Word together. Have you ever watched those shows where they rehab a home? I don't typically watch those shows, but if it's on and I'm ready to see the makeover, I can't walk away from those shows. There's just something that draws each of us into a story where something is broken down, where it's old, it's past its prime, and it gets a makeover, and it's made new, and it has new value and new purpose. There's nothing like that. Those before and after stories are the greatest stories that we can come across, I believe. I once had a friend, this kind of a funny story. He was so determined to get into shape that he did one of those before and after pictures of his body and posted it on social media. The great and awesome part of this story is he didn't wait to have his after picture. He just posted his before in all his glory, and he never got around to posting the after picture. Maybe that was his way of being accountable or whatnot, but I'll just never forget that story. Now, how many times in our lives have we heard the excuse for poor behavior and less than a godly lifestyle? How many times have we heard people say, well, you know, that's just who I am. I was born that way. I can't really begin to tell you how much energy that I spent trying to talk people out of that mindset in my early ministry. I would say things like, no, you know, you might be making bad choices, bad life decisions, but God doesn't create junk and you weren't made that way. Well, as I've matured in my own understanding of God's word and my understanding of humanity, I have humbly come to the conclusion that I was wrong. I was so wrong. I tried to show people that they were wrong when all along they were more right than I was. We were born into a sinful world. We were shaped in the brokenness of a world that no longer wants God to be the rightful king that he is. We were born that way. And it's not only okay to admit that, it's actually the place that we have to start. People are born with predispositions to sin, and they all look different. Some people want to drink too much. Some struggle with fidelity. Some struggle with anger in traffic. Some want to gamble their family's future away on a sports game. And the list goes on and on of, well, I was born this way. That list is far too long. People, that includes you and me, we were born broken. So we should stop arguing with people who are living out their brokenness. The message needs to change. When we bump into people who live their lives that are contrary to the word of God, we can accept their claims that they were indeed born that way. Nowhere in Scripture does Jesus try to convince people that they were not born sinners and have become sinners by choice. He took another approach. He started with truth. Before we get to Jesus' response, let me set the setting. Nicodemus, who is a teacher and a student of God's law, he was more than well-versed in the Old Testament. He could quote the entire text. He comes to Jesus at night. And now, I'm not sure if he did this because he didn't want to be seen by other leaders, or if he just wanted an uninterrupted moment with Jesus to talk. Either way, he starts his discussion with Jesus. He admits that Jesus wasn't normal. He said, a normal guy couldn't perform the signs that you are displaying. You must be from God. Nicodemus called Jesus rabbi, and he referred to him as a teacher. And I believe that this was Nicodemus's way of setting the table to learn something new, to advance his knowledge. It was his way of guiding the conversation that would benefit him, that would give him something new, something that he could even maybe apply to his own teaching. But Jesus skips that level of conversation and he gets right to the heart of the matter. You want to talk about knowledge, Jesus referred. But let's go deeper and talk about life, real life. And I appreciate that Jesus didn't have time for small talk. Remember, he's only got 3 years to convince a pretty stubborn group of people that God was on the move and that he was doing God-sized things. So Jesus doesn't lean into the conversation about himself. He gets right to the point and he tells Nicodemus what he needs to hear. Jesus has always been the king of that kind of conversation switch that we see here, going from the question that's posed to the more important issue at hand. The message needs to start at truth. And so we look at the words of Jesus to Nicodemus. Jesus says this. He says, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." There is some truth when people use the excuse, "I was born that way." You were born that way. And that is exactly why you need to be born again. If you weren't born that way, you might need an adjustment or two, but you wouldn't need to start over. Jesus makes it clear. You were born that way. You are a sinner from birth. You have all kinds of predispositions to sinful activities. Every one of us has broken parts that need to be replaced. Paul tells us in this letter to the Romans, he says, "For all have sinned and fall short of God's standards and God's expectations for our lives." That's where we're all starting from. We all start from the same point. We start from this place of being completely broken and disjointed and outside of the design that God had made for us in the garden. Every single person who's breathed after Adam and Eve have been born into sin. We start with the stack against us. All have sinned and fall short of God's glory. And what a grand story it is. What a glorious story it is that God's gospel understands our brokenness and provides brand new life. God loves us where we are. Max Lucado said this. He said, but he loves us too much to leave us that way. We must be born again. I don't recall who said this, but this person said that Jesus didn't come to make bad people better. He came to give life to dead people. He came to make dead people alive. That's what this rebirth, that's what this being born again is all about. One of the greatest problems with the church in America is that we have changed Jesus' words to Nicodemus. Jesus said clearly, "You must be born again." The church says, make a decision to invite Jesus into your heart. Add him to your life. Paul tells us in Corinthians, he says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Paul doesn't talk about a ministry of adding something to a life. He's saying that there's death to one way of life, and there's life to a new way. True story. My first appointment as a pastor was in Newport, Kentucky. My first Sunday there, there were like 12 people there, and seven of them were my own family. This church had had a great history of ministry to young people. The problem was these young kids were no longer kids. They were now young adults, and none of them were attending the church. I felt that it was God's duty to me to find these young adults and get to know them. What I discovered was exactly this. They were pressured into becoming members of the church, or they weren't going to be allowed to attend annual youth rallies and such things as that. These kids were not taught what Jesus taught Nicodemus. They were wrongly convinced to add Jesus to their lives. They were not called to die to their sins. They were not called to examine to see if there was new life in them where sin and rebellion had reigned. And so when the pressures of life and adulthood and all the traps that that entails presented itself, these young people, they left the church. And isn't that what we see in most churches? Kids attend with their parents. Then they get older and they make their own choices and they choose to leave the church for a season. And those that come back, they come back to the church when it's time to maybe raise their own family, and the cycle continues. The church has failed to teach that the evidence of Jesus' mark on a person is new life, regeneration. Even well-meaning Christian leaders have taught a lot of our young people that Jesus is a lot like a new pair of sneakers. Add them to your outfit and make it a great outfit. Paul tells us in his letter to Titus, he says, He, God, He saved us not because of the righteous things that we have done or the things that we've added to our lives, right? But because of His mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and the renewal of the Holy Spirit. Remember, guys, Jesus didn't come to make bad people better. He came to give dead people life. And only those that can see the distinction between adding Jesus as an accessory, as an add-on to their life, and those that understand that following Jesus is not just a decision, but it is a death and a rebirth. A death to the old way of living and a rebirth into a life where Jesus is king and where He is the only authority who has the first and final say over every aspect of our lives. This is simple, but it's not easy. Salvation is free, but it will cost you everything. The gospel is not living your life however you want, contrary to the word of God, and then simply adding Jesus to that life. The gospel is death and then life. It was first the death of Jesus and then a resurrected life. And it must be the same for you and I. We must be willing to lay our lives down and through Jesus and the work of the Holy Spirit, accept and embrace the new life that He purchased for us. I know that's a tough word, and I suspect that Nicodemus knew that as well. But here's the good news. Jesus loves to get His cars from the junkyard. My oldest son, whose name is Dennis as well, he purchased a car a couple years ago, and it had a salvage title. And that means that at one time, an insurance company decided that the damage to the car was too much, and it was not worth fixing. But some car guy comes along and, having a love for taking cars that are junked out and making them new again, he buys this car, he fixes it up and sells it to my son. And my son takes it even further and he adds a ton more upgrades and repairs. And now if you see that car, it's a sharp and sporty looking car and it runs good. It's fast. That's the same business that Jesus has decided to be in. He sees a junked out man. He purchases him, often guts him right down to the chassis, and then he starts to build him brand new. That is my son's hobby, but it's not a hobby for Jesus. It is His way to salvation. He says it so clear through His ministry, a man must be born again. So when we hear somebody rather admit that their behavior is a sin, and they try to dismiss it as saying that it's just who I am, I was born this way, it's not our job to argue with them. They're more right than we are. Their greatest need is not to get better. Their greatest need is new life. They must be born again. That doesn't let you and I off the hook either. We have areas in our lives that we accept as just part of who we are. We have all kinds of colorful and vivid excuses to justify this. Maybe somebody wounded us when we were younger. Maybe it's just a habit that we saw our parents do, and then it's our turn to do that. And it's just become easier to accept that that's who we are. But Jesus needs us to hear the words that He spoke to Nicodemus. We need to be reminded, whether it's our beginning of our journey with Jesus or if it's little areas of our lives that we keep bumping into Jesus with, and we must understand and we must embrace that you cannot see God unless you are born again. Somebody listening to this podcast might be hearing that message for the very first time, that you must be born again. And I will, in a few seconds here, lead you in a prayer that helps you understand what it looks like to put yourself out there, to acknowledge that you are a sinner separated from God, and it's your sin and your behavior that has caused that separation. But God is in His infinite and steadfast love for you, has moved heaven and earth to make a way for you to be right with Him, a way for you to die to your old self and to be resurrected into this new life of his son, Jesus. And some of us here are thinking about some areas in our lives that we have just sort of accepted as the new normal. And I believe that I believe in a God who loves us right where we are, but loves us so much that he's not going to allow us to stay that person. He's going to continually hound us to die to this area, to allow him to bring new life. And if that's you, if there's an area of your life that you're struggling to give over to God, I need you to hear his words to Nicodemus. There can't be new life unless you die to that sin and allow me to make you new in that area. Let me pray with you. Heavenly Father, we put our trust in you today. We acknowledge that you are who you say you are. We acknowledge that you love to take a broken man, a broken woman, a broken child, and you love the work and the process of making them new again. We thank you for the invitation to come to you no matter how we are, knowing that you have a love and an acceptance of us. But because of your understanding of all things, we accept that you cannot leave us that way, and that you're going to do the hard work of tearing down the old, helping us to die to the old, so that you can bring new life through regeneration and the work of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, I pray for those that are listening who may have never heard that message. May you speak to them directly and personally about this invitation. And for my brothers and sisters who may be dealing with certain areas in their lives, Lord, I pray for the same in those areas, and I pray over those areas that they would submit those to you, that they, having seen you do great things in other areas of their lives, would be willing to die to that one so that they can enjoy the new life that you bring. God, I thank you for what you have done in my life and how you continue to call me to this new life. Lord, you are so good. I wouldn't have known I needed you if it wasn't for you and for your great love for me and your grace for me. So God, I celebrate you. I worship you. And Father, I just pray your blessing over those that are listening, that they hear and understand this message and that they embrace your love and your position in their lives. We love you and pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey guys, thanks for listening to the podcast. I do hope that if you have any questions about this message or any of the other ones, that you'd reach out to me. Let's have a conversation and let me help you understand God's word even further. It is my prayer that God blesses you, that he stays close to you. And I love what God said through the prophet Jeremiah. When they seek me with their whole heart, they will find me. Just know that God is looking for somebody who has drawn a line in the sand saying, I can't do it without him. And you start seeking him, he will show up. May God bless you. Thank you.